Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good afternoon. How are we? Good. Great. It is a day of celebration, and we're really looking forward to hearing from Katie and Trevor and to commission them and their team to plant Faith Vineyard in Cumber. So really exciting. Hello to everybody online. You are loved and missed wherever you're watching and whenever you're watching. We can't wait for you to join with us again, and you're part of this by the miracle of technology. You're right here with us, so we're excited that you're tuning in, so thank you for being with us. I just want to set up talking about this church plant really, really quickly and just talk a little bit about the vineyard and its story with church planting. But also, we've been in a series on the kingdom of God. And I originally wrote that we were going to take a break from this series, and then I caught myself on and was like, no, church planting is a kingdom task. So we're continuing on with our series, and we're sending these guys out, and we're going to have a big old time. So for vineyard churches, talking about the kingdom of God and planting new communities of faith, that all goes together. That's just part of our story. And we get that from our study of and our love of the scriptures. And I don't have time to take you through all of the different ways and places that we see that in the scriptures, but I just want to highlight a couple really quickly just to anchor this for us. In Matthew 28, we have Jesus' great commission to his disciples and to us. And he says this to them: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then as we read the rest of the New Testament, the book of Acts and the letters and all that stuff, we see that the first followers of Jesus, they actually took him to heart and went and did things. But what they didn't do was just wander about aimlessly, telling people about the kingdom of God and saving faith in Jesus, and then say, "Okay, there's some news for you. Do whatever you like." No, they actually gathered those that responded to the announcement of the kingdom and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into something called churches. And you see the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary church planter, traveling around preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God and announcing the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can come into faith and relationship with him right now. And those who responded, he planted churches. Your New Testament is actually a testimony to church planting. All those letters that you see in the New Testament, they are deep and rich and they're helpful to us, but they were letters written to these brand new churches that were popping up all around the known world. As the first disciples spread out from Jerusalem, they planted churches all around. So your very Bible is like this testimony to the kingdom breaking out and churches being planted. And just through the patterns of history ever since, we see this happening again and again and again, where men and women called by God are sent out, announce the kingdom, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, see people respond, and then gather them into something called the church, where they can be discipled and learn to follow Jesus, and faith in God can grow, worship of Jesus is multiplied, and entire localities, cities, and even regions are changed because of kingdom church planting. And we are really expectant that Katie and Trevor and the team that's about to be sent out will see the same pattern as they go. And it's part of the vineyard story. The vineyard, I don't know how much you know about the vineyard family of churches worldwide, but the vineyard kind of began in the late 70s, early 80s, and it kind of began with a core group of about seven churches. And today, there's now about 1,600 established churches that have been planted out from that. And church planting is a kingdom task, and it's always on the agenda. And it isn't for us to build our own empires. It's a response to the call of Jesus on people and on churches, and we just want to step into that. So we see it deeply rooted in the scriptures. It's a kingdom task, but it's also a call on our church, part of our history. It's part of our DNA. Our church, BCV, was itself planted in 1996 from the Evanston Vineyard in Chicago. They are a thriving congregation, about 1,000 people. They're about to turn 50 years old. And in those 50 years, they've planted around 25 churches, which is remarkable fruitfulness. Church planting is on them. They are what they would call an Antioch church, which I would unpack in a second. But that's kind of passed on to us. Like they are our mother church, and we carry their story and their DNA as well. And last March, we talked about how we believe we have this same calling as they do, to be an Antioch church, which comes from Acts chapter 11, 13, and 15. And again, when the early church spread out from Jerusalem, Antioch developed into a very important church. It was at Antioch that disciples of Jesus were first called Christians. A few things marked out this church at Antioch. It was a strong local church. They were known for evangelism and people coming to faith. They were known for teaching and preaching and signs and wonders, particularly prophetic ministry. They were known for generous giving. That marked their church, including extravagant sacrificial care for the poor and the vulnerable. But another thing that marked them out as a distinctive church was they became a training and sending base. Some apostles were based there. Other apostles checked in there. And their church impacted the whole region and beyond as they sent people out from there. And we as BCV have always done all that we can to walk in this calling to be an Antioch church. Not so we have a great name anywhere or to build our empire, but just to be faithful to the calling that Jesus has placed on us, to be a strong local church, and from that foundation, train people, send people, plant churches. And we've planted churches like Ben and Rebecca Couples, went to Bangor, Sean Lee and Ben Ewan out to Derry, and we've also sent missionaries and people on mission to some very interesting parts of the world. We've just done all we can by the grace of God to impact locally our region, our islands, and by God's grace even beyond that. And today, what we're doing today helps us see that we are continuing to walk in this calling, and the Lord is actually growing this calling with us. We are currently, as we speak, seeing things happen locally in these very streets. We're seeing things happen across our city. As we speak right now, as Alan said, there are more than 60 international students coming to our city center venue to meet people, to build relationship, and some of them are going to meet the Lord Jesus. We also do lots of things regionally in Ireland. And again, the Legacy Conference. If you are like, wow, I'm stirred up for what God is doing in Ireland with the Vineyard, come. Just come. Just come. There, I gave you my permission. You can just come. Whether you are like a big-time leader or you're like, I could never, ever do that. If you're curious, that's probably the Spirit of the Lord stirring you. So come along and be a part of that. And then, of course, nationally, our church actually helps serve and lead all of the Vineyard churches in the United Kingdom and Ireland. Some of us serve in those rooms as well. So we're just doing all that we can to be that kind of Antioch church. And now sending Katie and Trevor and their team of faithful BCVers to Cumber to plant Faith Vineyard is just a part of that. Be strong locally and impact far and wide. It's part of our legacy to see other churches come into existence all over the place, where people can find Jesus and his kingdom, his hope and his healing, and the destinies, again, of individual families and regions and cities can be changed by the power of God. It's something that's really, really joyful and should be really, really exciting. So today's a celebration. But it's also costly. We're saying goodbye to people that we love, who we've served alongside, some of us for decades. And it's bittersweet. But it's hugely exciting that they're following the call of God on them. And this is a privilege for us as Ascending Church. We get the privilege of being a part of their story. And we get the privilege of continuing on with our story. It's a privilege to serve the purposes of God in our time and place and to live out this calling being an Antioch church and then pass it on to the next generation. It's our privilege to welcome all to God's house here. It's our privilege to show hospitality and generosity so people can encounter the generosity and hospitality and life with Jesus. And it's a privilege to send Faith Vineyard Cumber out with finance and to just step into the shortfall that will come because those going on the team are moving their generous giving to this new church plant. it's a privilege for us to step into this, and I want to call us to pray for them and to give towards this and to support them in every which way that we can so that we can see a thriving church plant established in Cumber. So Alan mentioned the collection. I would again encourage you to give generously to that. Everything you give goes towards ministry and establishing Faith Vineyard. Ministry costs money. They just need some of the things you see here, just on a smaller scale. They need PA. They need equipment. You know, they need to hire venues. They just need all that kind of things as they begin to expand and grow. And we, like good parents, want to set them up for success. And just to make you aware, we're not just going to hand them a bag of cash and say, good, you know, all that stuff. They are setting up their own registered charity over the coming 12 to 18 months, and they will be completely independent of BCV and be governed by themselves. That's the end destination. But until then, that's a bit of a journey and takes time. So until then, one of the ways we're supporting them is they're going to operate under our governance and our admin support until they're ready to go out. We're not just going to kind of kicking them out. Here's some money, and you know, call us if you need us, but don't call. You know, one of those things where we're gonna be there for them, and we're going to do all that we possibly can. So that is entirely enough from me. I hope I've warmed you up in time to hear directly from Katie and Trevor. Are you ready for that? Good. Be excited. We're going to have a set change here. Katie and Trevor are going to come. They're going to grab microphones. I'm going to move this, and we're going to do our best impression of a chat show up here. I made a joke about Graham Norton in the first service, and it didn't go down very well. So, anyway, and guys, just so you know, I'm going to ask the questions in the correct order. I forgot a question in the first service, and it caused problems. So, okay. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Why don't you start by telling us how you knew God was asking you to plant this church? Like, give us the story. How did you know?
Yeah, let's go. So. So I didn't even get that right the first time this morning. This is not a good start. Well, we have been part of BCV for many years. I'm part of BCV for 16 years, get a year longer than that. And we've always loved being part of the family here. I think Andy was talking about what's on our church, being in Antioch Church. I remember over the years when we used to have our prayer and fasting weeks at the beginning of the year, and there were times when we were meeting and praying, and there were people who had words for seeing God lighting beacons in the four corners of our city and beyond. And it's very dangerous sometimes to be in those environments and pray and get really excited about that, because sometimes God may be planting something or have his finger on you to be the one to respond. And I think both Kitty and I really felt that being part of local church and being a minister was something that God always had on our lives. And we used to joke and talk about, well, you know, let's see what God has for us, and not really knowing if there was a time or a place or where that would be. But back in 2022, we moved to Newton Ards. That's where Katie's from. So we're moving back to her home ground. And we're living in East Belfast, which I loved. And we moved down to Newton Ards. And Katie was really excited. And I kind of went along. And but 5 years later, I'm the one who walks down to the market on a Saturday and who walks everywhere and thinks it's the best place in the world to live. So we really felt like God was settling us and planting us, and we started getting to know neighbours. It was great to walk to school, met lots of friends, great people. Just in that period, I think we started to kind of question and think, what is God doing? Is God starting to prompt us or ask us to do something? And I remember during lockdown we used to meet and walk from our house up to Scrabble, and
lockdown walks, do you remember those?
We'll be chatting and wrestling, and I'd be talking to Andy about, you know, what I felt God was doing and what that meant. So it started a lot of conversing, talking ourselves, praying, and just trying to discern what was God doing.
And my story started a long time before I even met Trevor and BCB. I think it was just BCB, it might have been all the Irish Vineyards. It was a conference in Belfast Bible College, and Steve Nicholson from Evanston was speaking at it. And at the end of that, he did a call for church planting, and he prayed and asked that God would actually give people pictures and names of places. And I felt God speak to me really clearly then. And at the end, he asked anyone to come up for prayer if God had been speaking to you. And I was actually mortified. And the reason for that was that I was a single mum. And I just felt like, well, it was probably a good bit of pride. I thought, what will people think if I walk to the front as a single mum of a young child saying she wants to plant the church? And I felt embarrassed. I was crying, and I went up anyway and got prayer and sat down after that and was like, what is happening? It was such a clear thing, but I did not think I was in the place to be able to do it. So I went to Andy's church planting courses that he was running at the time. They were fab. Started some theology, and I thought at the end of that, maybe I'll be part of a church plant that goes out from here. So then, fast forward, I met Trevor, and we got married, and that's wonderful. And we started to talk and kind of joke about church planting nearly as well. And a couple of legacy conferences ago, we were here, and a lady called Priscilla Reid from CFC was speaking. And as Trevor and I were driving to church that night, we were totally fine chatting away. But as I walked in the door of BCV, I just felt like overcome with emotion, and I just started to cry, and I was embarrassed, and I went and sat down, and I didn't know what was happening. And I think I said to you, Trevor, like, I feel like I don't belong here anymore. And I thought, like, well, that's not true, because half my family goes here, and friends like with Andy and Harmony and all these guys for 25 years, and it's not true that I don't belong here, but I knew something spiritual was happening. So then when Priscilla spoke, she said that she wanted to pray for anybody that had been leading the same area of ministry for a really long time, for a refreshing and a re-envisioning, and I could kind of feel her looking at me, so I went up and thought, well, I've been the kids' pastor here for a couple of decades, and I definitely want the Lord to tell me what he has next for me and for the kids at BCV. So she started to pray, and then she just stopped and looked at me, and she just said, put it down. And I was stunned. And she was like, put it down. There is no re-envisioning for this. The Lord has got something so new for you. You're going to feel like you've put the L plates on. And then she looked at me again and said, that thing that happened to you as you walked through the door tonight was a holy discontent from the Lord. And I hadn't mentioned to her that anything had happened. So she's just amazingly prophetic. And so I sat down after that and like a little bit stunned and crying. And Laurie came up and she was like, are you leaving? I was like, I think I might be. So that began a big discernment process with Andy and Harmony and a lot of tears, because it was a massive thing to set down something that the Lord had called me to for all that time and that I just loved with all my heart. And then the last little bit of it is that very soon after that evening with Priscilla, I went to bed one night and I had a dream. And in that dream, Bono knocked at my front door, and you laugh, but next week you'll probably hear a similar story at Legacy, because the guy speaking there had a similar thing happen. But anyway, I did not know that. So Bono knocked at the door. In the dream, I didn't really mind. I was just like, all right, that's who it was. So I said, are you coming in? And he said, no, let's walk. So we walked from Newtonards, our house, to Cumber, to the square. And there's like a pub in Cumber Square that's called McBride's. And we went in. And as we went in, I turned into somebody who worked in the pub. And I was telling everyone, Bono's here, come and sit. And I was bringing food and bringing drink. And then the dream ended. And then in the same night. It felt like it wasn't a dream, but like God spoke to me, it's time to cash in your assets. And we had a laugh because we did think we don't really have very many assets. But I think that what that meant was everything we'd learned from these guys and from the Lord in all of our time here, that there was time to cash some of that in for a new thing. And then we prayed. We asked a lot of people, some of you are here in the room, about the dream. And we just felt Bono, the name Bono means the good voice. And McBride's was the bride, like the bride in Cumber. And that he was asking us to come and just start a church there so that we could introduce people to Jesus and just see that place transformed. So yeah, and then the other little bit, sorry, is Tori and I, for about 5 years, we've joked nonstop about when we plant the church in Cumber, and then I don't even know when it was, we just suddenly realised, this is not a joke, we need to do this. So yeah.
And so some of you remember we announced this actually a while ago. So what have you guys been doing from then until now?
So for me, after finishing on staff at BCV, the first thing I needed to do was get a new job. So I started to work in a local primary school in the nurture unit, and that has been a real big gift to me. It's a brilliant place to work. And Trevor and I started launch training with as part of the Vineyard Leadership Pathway. So you hear about Leadership College, it's the next step on from that. And basically, it's like a launch pad with amazing content and mentors. It's just designed to get church planters ready to go. So we had a residential where we met loads of people in the same boat as us who were also planting churches, great relationships, lots of practical teaching. I was able to get coaching with Cecilia, who's here, who's a coach in Vineyard and has a special interest in coaching church planters. That was invaluable. And I guess I just want to say that if you're sensing a call to church planting, there's so much support within BCV and our Irish Vineyards and the Multiply team in Vineyard to help you and give you the best start. It's brilliant. So next year.
Yeah, and that being part of that team continues, not just for the first year, but they continue to offer help and support. So we meet every Thursday night. We meet with the other three church plants across the UK. And we also get a one-to-one session with Libby and Thomas that head that up. They give us access to coaching and mentoring as well. So there's a lot of practical support there, as well as the theology, online theology, that Katie's finished that and I'm starting the modules of that. And they also help us with those practical things. We're not great with technology and websites, and thankfully we do have folk on the team who are. So what you don't know is that in the background last night, Chris was messaging back and forward to one of the guys on the launch team to help us get all that code that you need for websites that we know absolutely nothing about.
So check us out on Facebook and Instagram, Faith Vineyard Cumber.
So
give us a little like.
We've been meeting with Andy and Harmony and Alan and just talking through those practical things that you know, it's good to know and learn from you. We've been meeting for about 18 months already. A lot of that in the McFeeders house with lots of barbecues and lunches and just getting to know each other as a team. We recently did the Talking Jesus course, which I know that you've run a few times here, and would really recommend that. We want Faith Vineyard to grow by people who are outside of the church being invited into a living relationship with Jesus. And sometimes we're not always great about talking about that in a really relevant and everyday way. So it's a great course. We did that for the 6 weeks, and it really help us to focus and think about those people in our lives that there are in our circles where we'd just love to start a conversation about Jesus with them. So that's some of the things. There's some photographs that come up as well that you'll see.
All right, so before we commission you guys, just give us your heart, your vision, your dreams for this church.
Yeah, so we landed on a logo, which you'll have seen there, which Cumber's a place where there's two rivers that meet, and there's a little shoot coming out of that. We really want to be people that are rooted in our community. We want to be a family of faith, and we believe that we're all in this journey together, that it's not something that just Katie and I are doing. We've got our family and our kids, and we wanted to bring our kids along with us on that journey as well. So this is a place where everybody gets to play. So we're doing little activities to get them excited, to help them understand as well. So we will be meeting in Cumber Community Centre, and one Saturday of the summer, we went down there, we took some little mustard seeds, handed them out, and we thought, let's just go round and let's pray for this little community that we're all part of. And in faith, so these are little mustard seeds, and we want to see faith grow. We want to see people's lives being changed as they encounter Jesus. So we've been doing things like that with the kids, and also we want to be a place where we are rooted in our faith. The world's a very everything changes. There's lots of seasons in our lives. If there's ever a time for us to be rooted and strongly grounded in Jesus, it's now. And we want to be that community that helps people grow in discipleship and grow in their faith.
Whenever we were first thinking about Cumber, I remember we were driving around and looking at it, and we were kind of a little bit puzzled, to be honest, about why the Lord was calling us there, because we live in Newtownards, that is three times the population size. And also Cumber just, I mean, it's beautiful. It's such a lovely place to be. We love it. But it just felt to us like it was going to be harder to plant there than in Newtownards where we were. And as we were driving around looking at it, I just felt the Lord say to us, I want you to look at this place with eyes of faith. So that is what we have been doing. You know, I felt God was saying, look at not just the people and the things going on here, but look at the very ground you walk on with eyes of faith, the atmosphere in the town. What will that look like with Jesus? You know, when we meet there and we start to worship, what will happen to the atmosphere? What will happen to the people? What will happen to the actual environment? And like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, we want to be a community who live by faith and not by sight. And we believe that God has planted us in Cumber for a purpose. And we just believe that as we start to worship there, that the atmosphere and the hearts of the people there will be transformed, because that's what Jesus does best. And I just wanted to end by saying that Cumber is a place that has seen historical moves of God. It's so amazing. It feels like a little place that punches above its weight in so many ways. And during the 1859 revival, I have a few wee quotes I wanted to read you because they're so exciting. Some of the ministers there have been praying for revival in Cumber for 14 years. And if it's small now, it was even smaller then. And so on the 15th of May that year, these are the minister's words. He said that as he was preaching in one of the Presbyterian churches, it seemed that people melted under the power of the word. Like, isn't that awesome? Imagine melting under the power of God's word. We want that to happen again. And so they met then the next evenings, and there was special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it says that there were such massive crowds in the churches in Cumber at these meetings that they were packed to the doors, and it was impossible to get in onto them or out of them again at the end. And then he reported that in June one evening, the Holy Spirit came down with such mighty power. And these are his words. He says, the whole town was roused. Many did not get to bed that night at all. For several days afterwards, great numbers were unable to follow their usual pursuits, but give themselves almost unceasingly to study of the scriptures, singing and prayer. And then this is the best bit. The churches in Cumber gathered together and organised a prayer meeting in a field between Cumber and Newtownards, and it's recorded that 4,000 to 6,000 people turned up at that prayer meeting in the afternoon and stayed right through most of the night. And we are just dreaming, you know, he's done it before. We are just praying, God, come and do it again in this little place. CFC are planting a church in Cumber too. Zara and I have become friends, and we're deeply excited. We can't believe that God would call two churches at the same time to plant in this little town. Like, what is he up to? What is about to happen in Cumber? We are very excited, and we just can't wait to see and be part of this adventure.
What do you think of that? That's great. I think it's time that we commission these guys and then we commission their team. How do you feel? Ready? All right, let's do that. All right, these guys are going to stand right here. And then I'm going to commission them as church planters. I'm going to ask them to make... It's like we're doing a wedding again here. You guys dancing or what are you doing? All right, well, I'm going to ask them to make a commitment, and there's a bunch of things here that they're going to be committing to, and I'll prompt them at the end by, if they will do these things, they'll say, I will, with God helping me, and then I'm going to remind them a few things as well. So, are you ready? All right. Trevor and Katie, you are called by God to work within the family of the Vineyard as servants and shepherds amongst the people of Cumber and the surrounding area to whom you have been sent. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Will you do your utmost to live lives of holiness, consecration, and humility as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you set the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, always before you as the pattern and model of your calling, caring for the people God commits to your charge? Will you proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you preach and demonstrate the good news of the kingdom of God and to call men and women to submit to King Jesus and in repentance and faith? Will you heal the sick, cast out demons, feed the hungry, care for orphans and widows as the Lord gives you grace? And will you lead your church plant in worship and prayer? Will you fast and intercede for them? Will you offer them love, mercy, acceptance, and healing? If you will do these things, answer, I will, with God helping me. Now, in the name of our Lord and Master, I remind you of the greatness of the trust now committed to your charge. Hold to and teach the word of God faithfully. You are to teach, admonish, correct, rebuke, and feed the Lord's family. You are to train God's people for the work of ministry so they are equipped to serve the living God in a variety of places and ways in the power of the Holy Spirit. Always remember with profound gratitude that the treasure entrusted to you is Christ's own flock, bought through the shedding of his blood on the cross. Remember that the church plant whom you are to gather and serve are one with him. They are his body. Remember to serve them with joy, build them up in their faith, and do all in your power to bring them to loving, consecrated, costly obedience to Christ. You cannot bear the weight of this privilege and responsibility in your own strength, but only by the grace and power of God. So each day, ask the Lord earnestly and humbly to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Ask that he will enlarge and enlighten your understanding of the scriptures so that you may be stronger and more mature in your ministry as you fashion your lives and those of your people in the word of God. And ask the Lord daily to give you direction and wisdom from on high as you lead his people he has placed in your care. And I know long ago you began to weigh and ponder all of this, and that you are fully determined by the grace of God to give yourself wholly to this work in order to fulfill your calling. So I want to read out 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 over you. Therefore, Katie and Trevor, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So with the authority of the Vineyard movement, the leadership of Belfast City Vineyard, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and serve, I now commission, bless, and send you to plant and lead Faith Vineyard Church into the Father's good future in the power of the Spirit. Amen. All right. The rest of the team to come forward. We want to commission you as well. So if you're part of the team going with Faith Vineyard, all these beautiful people, here they come. Isn't this wonderful? They're appearing from everywhere. Isn't it great? want to commission you guys as well. You all have discerned a call from Jesus to go with and lead alongside Katie and Trevor in this church plant. So we want to commission, bless, and send you. We honor you for your love for Jesus and his church, your faithful service to Belfast City Vineyard, and your courage to follow Jesus and to help plant Faith Vineyard. We commission you to serve in this church plant, to lead alongside Katie and Trevor, and we charge you to live lives of holiness, consecration, and humility as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We charge you to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to demonstrate the good news of the kingdom and invite men, women, and children to submit to King Jesus in repentance and faith. We charge you to build ministries and to serve and lead in this new church plant, to pray and fast for it and for all those the Lord will gather to it and to you. We charge you to offer all who come to Faith Vineyard and to dwell in Cumber and the surrounding areas, offer the love, mercy, acceptance, and healing that Jesus first gives us. And we charge you to dwell together in unity and peace, worshiping the Lord and inviting all who you encounter into his gracious kingdom. Amen. Now we want to pray for these guys and we want to pray for this church plant. And so it's about to descend into holy chaos. So if you are part of the family here and you want to come pray and lay hands on these guys, we need you. Even if you just like the look of them and you've never even met them before, you can come on up here. It's going to be a scrum. Just elbow your way in there. We're going to pray for them. Lord, we are so grateful for this team, for Katie and Trevor and all the rest of them, from the youngest to the oldest. We're grateful. We're so grateful. And we ask you to bless them. We ask you to prosper them. We ask you to protect them from the craft and power of the evil one. We ask you to protect them from careless or wicked people. Would you preserve them? Would you strengthen them and cause them to flourish? And we ask, Lord, that you would take any anointing that is on our church, Belfast City Vineyard, and that you would anoint them with it, that you'd give them a double portion of what you have first given us. We ask that there be an anointing for leadership development. We ask there be an anointing for children and youth ministry. We pray there be anointing for intimacy in worship. We pray there be an anointing to serve the most vulnerable and those on the margins. Lord, we pray there be an anointing for teaching and preaching and discipleship and intimacy with Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would take what you've placed on us and give them a double portion. We also ask for unique anointings for them, that the unique new things you want to do with them, Lord. So would you place these on them now that would mark them as a church as they grow from different stages, from church plant all the way to established church, Lord? Would they have unique callings from you for them and their community that they live out, Lord? We ask for that in your strength and power. We also ask that they be marked by evangelism, that men, women, and children would come into the kingdom of God. And so families, individuals, and that whole region would be changed, Lord, because you are intervening in people's lives. We pray for many young families to join them, Lord, and we pray for thriving children's ministry and youth ministry. Lord, we pray for great joy in the midst of this. We pray that it would be incredibly fun. And we pray that they would see miracles, they would know your provision, and that they would, at the end of their days, not only not regret it, but they would put their hand on their heart and say, I saw the kingdom of God made manifest with my own eyes. So, Lord, we call this church plant into being. Bless them, grow them, and prosper them. Unite them together relationally, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.